Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Well, it still works after a month or a week of Sundays. Here we are, the seventh week of Easter. We celebrate Easter for a week of weeks. So, feel any different? Feel resurrected, new, free, changed somehow? Free from fear and dread and all the stuff that drags us down? No? Well, why not? Did God drop the ball? Or is there something we need to do? Today, we heard, by the way, the gospel reading today is one that shows up every couple years, and preachers really dread it because it is tough to get through. So, today we heard these words for us in the gospel where Jesus prays for us that God would keep us faithful and hold us. Well, that's great, but it might also give us the idea that it's all up to God and we don't have any part in it. Now, that might be one of the places where we get stuck. You know, in our Lutheran tradition, we talk a lot about God's grace, right? God's unearned, undeserved love for us, God's promise of salvation. Just last week, we heard Jesus say, "You did not choose me, I chose you." So that might give us a sense that because there's nothing we need to do to earn God's love and grace, that there's nothing we should do. Well, this is an important distinction. There is indeed something we need to do, but not to earn God's love. Instead, there's a lot we can do to live in it, to make it real, to make it mean something beyond more than a bunch of words. See, God's love for us is a gift. And like any gift, there's nothing we can do to earn it or deserve it. Gifts are intended to be used. Well, this year for Christmas, my daughters, who I love, gave me a new rod and reel. It's one of the nicest ones I've ever had. You can tell because it's not broken. I keep thinking maybe I should just buy rods with the tip broken off and save the time. Now, I could keep using my old worn-out rods with broken tips, and I keep this one nice and new, but what's the point of that? My daughters didn't give me this rod to stick in my garage and look at it and say, "Oh, isn't that nice?" No, they gave it to me to use. If I don't use it, I may as well not even have it. Too often, we treat God's gift like something we're afraid to use or may not know how to use. Those of you who've been married may recall on the wedding day, you received all kinds of nice gifts, and there's usually a couple of gifts you look at and think, what's this for? When Ruth and I got married 5-6 years ago now, one of the gifts we got was this really nice crystal 3-compartment relish tray with a silver rim. We were students at the time. We couldn't even afford relish. So we thought, well, we'll pack it up and move it. And, you know, we were young, so we packed this thing up. We moved, I don't know, 8 or 9 times. Finally ended up in the house we're in now. And one cold winter day, kind of like today, we opened up a bunch of boxes in the basement we'd just moved around and hadn't looked in. And we opened up this, it was like Christmas. We had no idea what was in these boxes. We opened up this one box that held this relish tray, and there it was. Broken, unused, never enjoyed. When we're not careful, that can often happen to God's gift for us, eh? Box it up, carry it around from place to place, thinking, well, I'll use it when I need it, but for now, I'll just stick it in a box in the basement. When it comes to our faith, we'll pack it away and stuff it in the basements of our lives, move it around with us. And then when we feel like we need it, it might feel like it's hard to find. We don't know what it is or where it is. It might even feel like it's broken. One of the things that can get in the way is the temptation to confuse faith with a religion. Now, religion is largely external stuff. Doctrine, theology, dogma, structure, practices, liturgies, congregational meetings to call a new pastor, all that kind of stuff. But that's not internal. It's talk about faith. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a big believer in religion. I work here, for crying out loud. Okay, but religion alone is not the whole deal. Religion is important, but it can live in our heads. And, left to itself, religion alone will lead us to focus on fear, doesn't it? Fear of punishment for not being good enough. Fear of God's wrath. Faith, however, is about living in love and trust. It's a very thing we've heard in 1 John this whole season of Easter. God is love. Write that down in case you forget. God is love. Doesn't get simpler than that. God's love is stronger and more powerful than anything. But that's only a concept unless we live it. When we live in love, when unconditional love is the lens through which we see everything, it changes us. It heals our fear. The more we love, the more love seems and feels possible. Now, chances are you know some people who are pretty pessimistic, the ones for whom every silver lining has a dark cloud behind it, and they will see everything as dark and negative. It's kind of like what they look for. Now, truth is, if we look for things that are wrong, we're going to find them. But living by faith, living in love, works the opposite way. It leads us to live in the light. Now, this isn't simply the power of positive thinking. It's about a choice to live by faith instead of living by fear. A choice to live in the light instead of letting darkness overcome us. Jesus calls us out of the darkness into the light, to love and forgive aggressively, to live this way of outrageous love and generosity that Jesus called the kingdom of God. Now, last Sunday is one of my favorite days of the year, Confirmation Day. And our eighth graders delivered statements of faith. Almost all of them talked about how they have come to understand what it means to follow Jesus by what they did, what it means to follow. It showed up in things like feeding hungry kids at Hephatha at 18th and Locust, packing meals to send to El Salvador, going to Serenity Inn and preparing and serving meals with men in recovery, and all the other ways that they were serving those in the name of Jesus. Now, part of what happened in that is that they realized, they're 14, they had the power, the authority, the right, the responsibility to carry God's love into this world. The theme that ran through all of their statements is that growing in our faith is not just stuff we learn. It's not like watching a TV show. Growing and living in faith happens when we take it off the shelf and when we live it. Now, this doesn't mean that all of us need to participate in each one of our food packs or events with our partners. But even if you don't participate directly, it's one of the things our offerings do, doesn't it? Because when we're not there physically, we make sure other people can. And sometimes it comes home for us when we practice forgiveness. Because talking about it is one thing. Living it is quite another. When we make it a point to live our lives in God's ways of loving and caring and bringing hope, we end up experiencing so much more meaning and purpose in our lives. And we find that we're not just living for ourselves. We end up living for more, for others. And we become set free a little more. If we let ourselves be shaped primarily by the ways of the world around us, then we're not going to feel any different. And our faith will feel like it's a religion and may become increasingly irrelevant. but it is in living our faith, living in the ways of love, that God's love and power becomes increasingly real as we give it, because when we give it, we receive it. I plan on using my new fishing rod this summer a lot. A lot. I want to use it and enjoy it. It's not going to do me any good in my garage. I use my fishing rod by fishing. We use our faith by trusting God to love us. We use it by loving others, by caring for the poor and feeding the hungry. And when we do, something happens to us. We become fed. We become filled with peace. Our faith comes off the shelf and rescued from the basements of our lives. And it becomes that source of joy and meaning and contentment and peace that we crave. Jesus prays for us. He said, God, just as you sent them into the world, I send them into the world to believe and to do, to be forgiven and to forgive, to be loved and to love. And we don't walk this path alone. We don't just sit on the path either. Oh no, we walk it. And we walk it with Jesus, who leads us every step of the way. Oh, it's still Easter. It is still Easter. Christ is risen still. And Jesus calls us to show the world what it means that Jesus lives.